أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا وسدوا الخلل كان يشترين your rows and shoulders and gaps in between and kindly fill in all the empty spaces جزاكم الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
After remaining Athkar, there will be a short reminder, inshallah. All brothers are requested to participate. Jazakumullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Respected brothers, elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If I can just kindly request all brothers just to come as close to the minbar as possible, inshallah. Those who wish to remain engaged in dhikr and Quran, they are more than welcome to do so, inshallah. So all the remaining brothers, if you can kindly just come close. Jazakumullah khairan. Alhamdulillah, it's a very huge level of happiness seeing the masjid full. And beyond that, people have come to sit back and listen to some words which perhaps can benefit them, inshallah, in the hereafter, of course, and perhaps in this world as well. And this whole entire month is such an opportunity like this. It's honestly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. SubhanAllah, before Ramadan actually started, when the moon was sighted and the news was given, one of the musallis, one of our uncles over here, he left a very profound effect on me. As soon as the crescent was sighted and Ramadan was announced, he was coming out of the masjid and he was just full of tears. He was saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us tawfiq to live another year to see Ramadan. Wallahi, some people, they have such soft hearts, they have such understanding, such level of insight to the realities of this world, the realities of the hereafter, whereby they truly give the matters of Sharia, the matters of Deen, Islam, its due right, its due value. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us amongst those who can truly see the value and quality of this beautiful Deen. The point I'm going to speak about today, inshallah, is hopefully the beginning of a series of lessons, inshallah. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave khutbah, and this is narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave khutbah and he says, Ya ayyuhal nas, tubu ila Allahi ta'ala qabla an tamutu, wabadiru bil a'mali saliha qabla an tashghulu, wasilu alladhi baynakum wa bayna rabbikum bikathati dhikrikum lahu, wakathati sadaqah fis sirri wal alaniya, turzaku wa tunsaru wa tujbaru, ila akhil hadith, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that, O people, sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerely repent before such an occasion. And what are those things? Before you pass away. Sincerely return and repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that you have remorse and regret over our past habits, over our lifestyle choices. Repentance is such a thing that we have such, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah mentions that if a person wants a sign, an indication to see whether his repentance, his tawbah is of an accepted level, then his level of regret over his sin should be, if not equal, then greater than the enjoyment he took from that particular sin. So the amount of music that we listen to, the amount of, so many things we may indulge in, the amount of enjoyment we take and pleasure we take, we have to reach a level, inshallah, that slowly, slowly, we feel so much regret and embarrassment that, oh Allah, please forgive all of these things. This is a sincere indication that, you know what, this person, he truly wants to change his whole life around. So have this, when? Before you pass away. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, badiru, hasten, be quick, be greedy, be very ambitious with righteous deeds before you become occupied. And then it says, and join what is between you and between your Lord. Once you've done this, once you've repented from your previous ways and errors, and now you're starting to do good actions, now try to establish a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? بِكَثَّةِ ذِكْرِكُمْ لَهُ. By doing an abundance of dhikr, by doing an abundance of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this matter of dhikr is a huge, huge thing, honestly. The way I like to describe it is the same way we have appliances. You have, you know, the screen over here, you have the microphone over here, and so many other things, you know, technology, whatever you have. But when the electricity or when the charge has not given its, you know, power source, then those appliances, no matter how much you press it, no matter how much you, you know, press the buttons and everything, it's not going to work. So similarly, what happens is it requiring a power source, in this case electricity. Same way, the appliances that we may use are such as our salah. This is our appliance. It's like our television, let's say, our fasting, our recitation of Quran, all these different things. These are just vehicles. The essence inside of these things is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has to be charged. All these appliances, all these actions that we have, our salah, our fasting even as well, it has to be charged with the electricity which is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honestly speaking, if an individual truly captures this aspect of dhikr in his life, Allah will just show him ways. Allah will just bring him to the correct conclusions. It's not too hard. Honestly, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very easy. It's because once a person has that consciousness, then he's going to be very, very restless that how can I ensure that everything that I'm doing, my worship, all my actions, all my connections with other people, how can I ensure that it is, you know, meeting the standard set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this happens, then the heart is just going to find its way to make sure every action that we do, every engagement that we have is done in the correct manner. So dhikr, very, very, very important. And in the Fajr Salah, we had the ta'aleem today, where the author, the commentator, he was mentioning that kind of a natural sort of process of life is that when you practice a particular action, even though you might find it difficult, even though you may not have any liking to it, but the more you repeat a particular thing, slowly, slowly that becomes embedded into your identity. It becomes who you are. So the more we make dhikr in, you know, the beginning stages, we have to do this sort of thing. We have to just force ourselves. And alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is that kind of opportunity. It's honestly a huge opportunity because we are kind of forced. The whole environment around us is conducive. Shaitan has been locked away. Our families, you know, just speaking to one of our relatives earlier, they had iftar just yesterday for the first, this month of course. And then his child saying that this is the best day ever. It's the best day ever. Something so simple. Obviously she's like 2-3 years old. But subhanAllah, this is the purity of life. You know, Sheikh Umar Suleiman, he was saying that why do you find it that in the month of Ramadan, everyone is quite joyful, everyone is quite, you know, of a happy disposition? Is because this is the month in the whole entire year that we're all living life the way it ought to be lived. Eating together is unfortunately become, you know, perhaps not so common. But because of iftar, because of suhoor, alhamdulillah, this is one opportunity, is one excuse that as a family we can come together and we can really taste what life should be like. There are individuals where their whole entire lives was Ramadan. And of course, the month of Ramadan, they would increase the level of worship they would do. SubhanAllah, there was once a story where a slave girl, she was sold by her original masters. Okay, this is not a mas'ala about slavery, of course. You know, it's been abolished and everything. But it was there once upon a time. So now, this slave lady, she saw the new family that they were preparing for their fasting, their Ramadan. They were preparing their food and they were very excited. And she's saying that, you know, what's all this excitement that you guys are going for? You know, you're preparing so much delicious food and what's going on? And they said, oh, it's Ramadan. You know, we're going to fast, so we're making preparations. And she's saying, what? I've come from people, their whole entire year was Ramadan and you're making so much extra preparation for this month only? Send me back to them. I'd rather live with them because of their level of piety. So this is an example, a story that really and truly, Ramadan is a glimpse as to how our whole entire year should be like, inshallah. So what was the point? The point is dhikr. The dhikr that if we connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might find it difficult, but just have a routine. It's very, very useful sometimes to carry a tasbih or a tasbih counter. Just force yourself after Fajr and in between Asr and Maghrib. These are times exclusively mentioned in the Quran as well, referring to times of dhikr, times of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, golden times. So during, after Fajr Salah, you have some time, you know, during, before, in between Asr and Maghrib, bring your tasbih and do your, whichever dhikr you want to do. And then like this, slowly, slowly, inshallah, then when you stand up for Salah, then you'll automatically be able to be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the tips for Salah as well. A lot of times people ask, how can we attain khushu' in our prayer? It's not a switch that we can turn on, this aspect of khushu'. It's a person who is always switched on, and he's extremely switched on because now he's conscious, he's standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person's whole entire day goes by and there's no awareness, or you know, he's, you know, for example, he's coming to the masjid and then music is playing, and then he comes to the masjid, he parks up, he stops the music, and then he comes, how can we possibly expect that this person can now switch on his khushu' and his submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his prayer? So it's just common sense. So anyway, dhikr in its importance, you know, just mentioned there. وَكَثَّتِ الصَّدَقَةِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also mentions that we should also do an abundance of sadaqah as well. فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ in secrecy and openly as well. Subhanallah, there were individuals, I believe it was Sufyan ibn Uyayna or Hassan al-Basri, one of the two, they would say that in regards to the actions that I have done openly, I have no expectation, I have no hope that those things are accepted or worthy of acceptance in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that I've done openly, or everything that I've done where people have now come about it, because I'm too worried about the condition of my heart, that has the intention now changed where I feel some level of pride, where I feel that I'm showing off to a particular extent. Subhanallah, this is how critical it is, our conditions of the heart. You know, whether we are doing things purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this goes back to the point, it comes with an abundance of dhikr, an abundance of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unfortunately, we are alive in such an era that, you know, part of our life is social media. Whether we like it or not, it's a part of our reality and it's there. So as much as we are doing that people are aware of, we should be conscious that let me also increase the amount I do behind closed doors. You know, let me increase the amount of Quran that I read when no one knows. Even our wives, even our spouses, even our children have certain actions that nobody at all knows. And this could be a way, inshallah, that we can hopefully have some type of hope as we make our journey to the hereafter. And anyway, all of these things, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says as a result, that if you do all of this, تُرْزَقُوا وَتُنْصَرُوا. Once you do this, then you will have divine assistance. Once you do all of these things, then you'll see your life will be filled with barakah. Filled with barakah, honestly. Sometimes there are so many people, they haven't, you know, all the means of the world, they have it at the tips of their fingers, but they don't have that inner peace. It's become a cliche that's become, you know, people are saying this quite openly and quite frequently, but it's very, very true. However, when a person, despite having meager means, but he has complete contentment, is because he has barakah in his life. You know, he doesn't get perturbed by certain pressures, peer pressure, family pressure, relatives, and all these sort of things. Unfortunately, subhanAllah, a lot of people, they may be very, very, embarrassed or conscious of the conditions of how they live. And because of families and relatives and what they say, you know, just very recently, I was speaking to one young brother, and he has very noble intentions of getting married. But unfortunately, the father is becoming a massive block. The father is saying that, what's people going to say? You're too young. They're going to think and assume that this is a whole love marriage. You guys are boyfriend and girlfriend, and you've gone up to nonsense, and now you have to get married. The boy has noble intentions. He's got a good job. He's quite independent, and a proposal has come his way. The woman is good. But now, subhanAllah, the father is behaving like this. It's very, very sad. You know, fortunately, the young man, he's got a bit of, strong will, so he's going to resist temptation. But, you know, man is a man at the end of the day. You know, anytime our eyes fall on something, our eyes are the portals to our hearts. And sometimes when something comes inside us and we are not, you know, we're not married, we're not able to fulfill our desires in a permissible way, then young people, they have a lot of difficulties. It's a very challenging period of time. You know, people openly, you know, boys and girls outside, you will see they have the abaya, they have the hijab, and they're holding hands with a young man. Clearly they're not of marriageable age, clearly they're not married, but they're doing so openly. Why? Because there's this natural inclination, there's natural feeling. So when someone has now proven to you that, you know what, that I'm ready, you know, I've gone to show that I'm independent financially, I'm, you know, earning for myself, then there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Anyway, that's another situation. Bakhir, this is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is to get to a second point. And this is connected to a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, هَلْ تَنْتَذِرُونَ إِلَّا غِنًا مُطْغِيًا أَوْ فَقْرًا مُنْسِيًا أَوْ مَرَضًا مُفْسِدًا أَوْ هَرَمًا مُفْنِدًا أَوْ مَوْتًا مُجْهِزًا أَوْ الدَّجَّالِ فَشَرَّ غَائِبٍ يُنْتَظَرُ وَالسَّاعَةُ فَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in very, very amazing way, he says that what are you waiting for? This month of Ramadan that we have right here, right now, this is the opportunity that we've already spoken about of something really changing for the rest of our life, inshallah. It has this potential. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's speaking to us directly. He's saying to us that what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for such level of wealth and riches that is going to make you transgress? Sometimes we have this in our mind that I need to spend my youth and my, you know, physical age where I'm able to earn as much money as possible, and then once I become old, then I'll do Allah, Allah. But when, you know, you come to the masjid and all this, it's not like that. Every aspect of our life has to be attached to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to its capacity. Of course, in your earlier years, you may not have as much time because you are bound to particular places and, you know, time periods. But whatever time you do have, then at least spend those times in the right ways, you know, making sure that our salah as a fundamental is there, is fixed at particular times. If you're able to manage your work around salah times in the masjid, then even better. But we have to find a way. We have to find a way. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that are we waiting for wealth that once we receive that we're going to be content and now we'll start? Because this is a fallacy. This is shaitan playing tricks with us. Because what's going to happen is that when we're on this journey and we're waiting for our old age and we're hoping to just, you know, cement our financial status, then alongside when a person is void of the dhikr of Allah, then what's happening? He's doing all these amassing of wealth and he is not doing the tarbiyah of himself. He is not nurturing himself correctly. So with that, he's going to be weak. And this wealth that he now amasses is going to be such where he's now going to be indulging in so many different activities, and all these indulgences are going to even perpetuate and increase the possibility of him to have any remembrance of Allah in his life. So this is reality. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, or are you waiting for such level of poverty that is going to completely make you forget anything about this world because you're so concerned about where your next meal is going to come from? So of course it's not going to be a case of a person actively waiting, but a person, you know, inadvertently waiting, in the sense that we are still not making the choices that are, you know, conducive or the ones that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for riches or are you waiting to become poor? Because when a poor person, he's in need, then his mind is consumed with the world, the worries of this whole entire world. Or are you waiting for such an illness that is going to completely corrupt your limbs, where you're not going to be able to now perform actions? Subhanallah, so many people, so many individuals, they have spent years praying salah on their chairs. When was the last time their head felt the sweetness of sajda and prostrating on the ground? Ask them how it felt the last time they were able to do so. People are bedbound. People are only able to pray on the chairs. You know, we have health. We have our physical bodies Allah has given us. The only way we can do correct shukr, and this is a tip that I can give you, that how can a person know he's shakir, he's a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer is that a person, every blessing that he has, all these blessings, he uses it in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment a person receives particular blessings and he uses those blessings in a way which is not pleasing to Allah, then he is not showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that he has given. Even if a person is not physically saying with his lips, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Just by the mere fact that he's using these things, his limbs, his, you know, his body, his eyes, his ears, you know, his speech, in a way that everything that he does is, you know, by the law, by the letter of the law, then this is also a way of showing shukr. Or what are you waiting for? أو هرماً مفنداً. Or are you waiting for senile age? Subhanallah. People had no idea what Alzheimer's was. I had no idea what dementia was. I just thought it was a kind of illness where people start forgetting things. But Alzheimer's and dementia and these sort of things, the brain actually shrinks. And it actually leads a person closer and closer to their death. And unfortunately, a lot of people in those old age, they become such, the whole cognitive functions is completely switched off. And they call them human vegetables. When a person reaches senile age, just again, very recently, our Nur al-Haqsab, he was speaking about his father as well. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. But his father also, when he reached old age, he became such that once he was asking for food, and then people obviously, they were a bit busy, but by the time it came for him to be served the food, he was crying like a baby, he was crying like a child. Like, this is the condition of people when they become elderly sometimes. So our time that we have now, we have to be very, very, you know, what's the word, protective of our time. Make sure that we use our time, because as we go older, we're going to become weaker and weaker. أو موتاً مجهزاً. Or ultimately, are you waiting for death? Because death is what's going to completely cut us off. And then he goes further. أو الدجال. Or are you waiting for Dajjal? For he is the most evil or the worst absent thing that can be waited for. Is that what you're waiting for? Are you waiting for something so scary that's then going to wake you up? When Dajjal himself is in front of your eyes and then you start believing of the reality of Islam. Or are you waiting for وَالسَّاعَةَ فَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ. Or ultimately, are you waiting for Day of Judgment? Are you still not going to be satisfied or convinced to be practicing Islam or living your life according to Islam until you witness the Day of Judgment for yourself? Is that what we're waiting for? So these are very hard-hitting advices from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the balance that we need to create in our lives. A lot of times we live with a false sense of safety. That, you know what, Alhamdulillah, I'm doing as much as I can. I'm a good person. I don't really do anything bad, etc., etc. But really and truly, let's ask ourselves, are we doing enough? Because what was it for the likes of greater imams of the past? Fudayl ibn Iyadh, rahimahullah, what did he say? He says, لا أغبط ملكا مقربا ولا نبيا مرسلا ولا عبدا صالحا أليس هؤلاء يعاينون القيامة إني أغبط من لم يخلق. So he says that I'm not jealous of a close angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am not jealous of a Nabi, a prophet that was sent with Risala, nor am I jealous of a very, very pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that sometimes we see very, very pious individuals and they accomplish many, many great things in life. They become very, very influential people, and we see that people have an affinity towards them, they have a liking towards them, they have, you know, because they're a very good person. And we say to ourselves, you know, I'd like to be like that person. Or mashallah, he's a very, very good person. I'd like my son to be like so-and-so as well. So we have these sort of things. But Fudayl ibn Iyadh is saying that I don't want to be like these people. I don't want to be. He says, haven't they not understood the realities of Qiyamah to the most perfect degree? The angels themselves, they are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Anbiya alayhi salam, they have been given direct wahi. So they know exactly what the Day of Judgment holds. Haven't they understood? Isn't the reality of the Day of Judgment in their mind that they can see it? So as a result of which they are living their life. So he's making that understanding that this is their reality. He says, I am jealous of that individual who is not created and never created. He is jealous of such an individual that he is not created, meaning he doesn't need to go through this whole entire journey and witness all these horrors. This is how he feels about himself. This is Fudayl ibn Iyadh. Do you know how many years ago he was alive? Over 1,300 years ago. And we're taking his name today. So if we're taking his name today, then certainly this individual was a very special man. He is someone that perhaps Allah has, you know, accepted his life that he lived, his legacy that he had. But he himself, he is speaking regarding his own self in this way, that he hasn't got any sort of, you know, this safety. I don't feel safe. So we need to bring these sort of things. One more individual, Atta ibn Abi Rabah, he says, if hypothetically it was announced that there's going to be a fire kindled, and that whoever enters into this fire that's kindled, they're going to be such that they will die and they will never exist anymore. This is the sort of hypothetical situation he's saying. If this was to be the case, then I am worried, I am fearful that I'll probably die before I even reach this fire. Why? Because of an extreme level of happiness that is this actual chance that can happen. Meaning that people saying that they don't want to be in existence anymore because of their level of fear, their level of uneasiness of the life that they lived. So we need to take inspiration. How? One final thing and we end over here. A man asked, he says that, how shall I fear the fire? How shall I fear the fire? How can we show that we truly have embodied the reality of the hereafter, and we now want to act accordingly? What is an indication that we have now digested all this information? So then the Shaykh mentioned to him, the tears of your eyes. The tears of your eyes, this is the way that you can fear the fire of Jahannam. How? Because the eye that shed tears out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it drops on the face or whichever part of the limbs, then the fire of Jahannam will not touch that part of the body. I.e. that person, if he is fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the things of the hereafter, and tears start to shed, then he will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. And this is also further reinforced in the seven categories of individuals who will have the shade of Allah on the day in which there is no shade, and people will be drowning in their sweat, people will be so horrified by what's going on in the hereafter. And such an individual is that person in secrecy, he had such level of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he started shedding tears. Inshallah, this Ramadan, let's make this our target. Let's make this sincere tawbah our target. Let's make this action of trying to shed tears for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fearful of our actions. And hopefully this would be like, you know, our teacher would say that a person, the tears of a believer is like bleach, because it has such effects that it can completely whiten the dirt that exists on our hearts. This is the power of tears. So what we have heard today is something to, inshallah, give us a bit of a wake-up call, is to connect ourselves back to Ramadan and truly understand that rather than a temporary sort of moment where we come and do a little bit of extra actions and then go back to our normal ways, no, it's got to be transformative. This Ramadan has to be transformative. Something in your life, target a few things. Target a few things. If you're seeing that before Ramadan we were finding it difficult to wake up for Fajr Salah, then at least target this, for example. Beyond this, the way we speak, our mannerisms, subhanAllah, unfortunately, every single day we're saying, brothers, please don't park in inconveniencing ways. But it's very, very sad. On the WhatsApp group today earlier, one brother put it very nicely, that someone has to mention the standards of the masjid. That we have to show, as Muslims, we need to have a standard. But unfortunately, our musallis and our brothers, you know, they haven't understood the concept of what Islam is true, you know, the whole entirety of deen. If a person is obstructing other people's houses to come to the salah, then his salah that he prays over here, what reward can you hope from it? You are better off, you know, going around. If the whole entire salah time was taken up, hypothetically, and you're driving around the whole entire region looking for parking, and then you missed the salah, then you found parking, and then you come to the masjid, then at least this one you can expect more reward from the prayer you've prayed, even though outside of jama'ah. This is the reality. What kind of reward are you going to expect? So this is, you know, our akhlaq is something very, very crucial to our deen as well. You have to be a human being. Anyway, this is going on too long. I said a short reminder. It's become a bit lengthy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us tawfiq to really transform ourselves this Ramadan. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.